Well, good morning, everybody. An hour earlier than usual. Thanks for still being here. Daylight savings time. It can get the best of us, so thank you for still choosing to worship with us this morning. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Austin Despain. I am the Youth Associate Director, and I have the privilege of continuing us through our series of Sacred Rhythms. And so if you have a Bible, go ahead and open up to Psalm number one. Psalm number one. So in our series so far, we've heard about solitude, we've heard about silence, we've learned about confession, we've learned about so many different spiritual disciplines, so many different sacred rhythms. And so today's spiritual discipline or today's sacred rhythm is meditation on Scripture. Meditation on Scripture. So this has been something that has meant a lot to me over my years. I actually went to Bible college, so I spent a lot of money to do this full time for a number of years of my life. But it has been a great practice for me. It's something that I still cherish and still love to do. I get to do stuff like this, which is just absolutely the best. So I've been doing my research about this topic, and there's definitely like a lot to cover. So I'm hoping that we can at least scratch the surface, at least get a firm grasp. And I think to do that, we should ask three questions, not about three questions. It's really just three questions. What does it mean to meditate on God's word? What does meditating on God's word look like? And how does meditating on God's word help us? Those are the three questions that I'd like to ask today. So meditation has a lot of different meanings. So what I would like for everyone to do, close your eyes for just a second and just get a mental picture. When I say the word meditation, what do you think of? What's meditation in your mind? Okay, you can open them if you still have your eyes closed. So you might think of a number of different things. We really associate meditation with like a monastic lifestyle, with like a monk or like a nun or something like that. We think of like Buddhism. We think of Hinduism. You might think of doing yoga. Yoga is very meditative. Or you might think of even some Christian practices that we do here at First Pres. You might have thought of like Lectio Divina, the divine speaking of God's word. You might think of a different kind of prayer, such as like a contemplative prayer. Or as Howard has mentioned, the breath prayer. Or we've heard about the centering prayer. There's so many different types, so many different ways that we would consider meditation. So many different things to do. And these are all healthy examples. The word meditation comes from the Latin term, let me be sure I get it right, meditatum, which means to ponder, to think about, to stare off in the distance, to daydream. And there are two main Hebrew words for meditation. One means to sigh or to murmur or to think clearly about, to reflect on in your mind. Another means to rehearse in your mind. So if you've ever been in a situation and then like 20 minutes later, you think of like the perfect joke to say, or like you think of the perfect like response, that can be considered meditation, biblically speaking. So although there is no real like universal definition of meditation, I think there are several good places to start. And meditation on God's word from a different lens and a more specific lens, as I was kind of studying through the scriptures, like there's not a ton of like step-by-step instructions for like actually how to meditate, which for me, as like a very logical, like step-by-step person, it's kind of frustrating. I'm like, I would love for God to just be like, you know, step one, step two, step three, here it is. And you know, Chronicles, yada, yada, here's how to meditate or whatever. I would love to have that. But that's not necessarily the case. We see so many different examples, which is good. We see the example of Jesus, who would withdraw early in the morning to go meditate, to go pray, to go be in the stillness with his Father. We see the example of Elijah, who was in a troublesome situation. There were several people that wanted to kill him, and so his response was to run to the place that he could be for sure that he would hear God's voice, to Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. And there, God's voice was not in the earthquake and it wasn't in the wind, but it was in the gentle whisper. It took effort to hear, to be still enough to hear what God had to say. We see the example of Moses. the leader of the nation of Israel for the first five, at least five books in the New Testament, or four. Someone can fact check me on that one. But the leader of the nation of Israel, anyways. He so often would go to the mountain to be with God that his face was glowing, that the people of Israel wanted him to put a veil on his face because his face was shining. It was bright because Moses was still before God. We see so many more examples. We see Joshua. We see David, author of many of the Psalms. We see Solomon, many, many others. You can basically play Bible roulette, open to any random page, fill in the blank with your favorite Bible character, and there's probably something to learn about meditation. There's probably something there. I was going to try to put a fancy list together, like a little infographic type thing, like, oh, if you want to learn more about meditation, you know, read these verses. But there's so many. I mean, there's too many to count. Like, this really is like a Google search away, Bible verses about meditation, and it's so, so much. It's way too many to fit on one slide, that's for sure. excuse me. Oh, gosh. Along with Bible verses, there are a lot of different topics to meditate about. We think of God's characteristics. We think of God's glory, God's love, his mercy, his justice, his righteousness. We think about God's compassion. We think about God's guidance or his healing. We can meditate on all these. We can think about God's dwelling place. We can think about eternal life. We can think of the comparison between good and evil. We can think of truth versus lies. We can think of wisdom versus fear. We can meditate on all these things. They're all scriptural. And even the more theologically dense topics, such as God defeating enemies, or the second coming of Christ, or Judgment Day. I mean, all these things we can meditate on, and we can ponder, and we can be still and listen to God. So, a few quick definitions as like a place to start, at least to give us some kind of foundation for what meditation on God's word is. Eugene Peterson, great Presbyterian minister, y'all have probably heard of him. He describes meditation as listening to God speak to us through scripture. He also has the example of the cow that chews on its cud, how it will get a mouthful of grass, it'll chew it, it'll chew it, it'll chew it, and then it'll swallow it, and then kind of nasty, but it'll regurgitate it, and it keeps chewing on that same mouthful of grass. I mean, the cow is processing it. The cow, arguably, I guess in Eugene Peterson's word, is meditating on that mouthful of grass. Kind of weird to think of it that way, but Tim Keller describes meditation. He says it's not emptying our minds, as some of the Eastern traditions do, not emptying our minds, but actually filling our minds with the things of God. Out of curiosity, I just looked up on Reddit. I was like, what does the general public think about meditation? And I actually got some great responses. Connecting our mind with God's mind. Connecting our minds with God's mind. Also, allowing God to guide us in our understanding of his word by the power of his Holy Spirit. Letting the Spirit minister to us, speak to us. Many of you guys might know this book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools by Tyler Staton. It's a great book. I'm in the process of reading it. I haven't finished it yet. But Tyler Staton says this about stillness in his book. He says, be still. The Latin term is vacate, from which we get the English word vacation. The invitation of prayer anytime, anywhere is this. Take a vacation. Stop playing God over your own life for a moment. Release control. Return to the created order. Be still. Prayer begins there, but that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. Another book I'd like to reference, I think last week Howard had four books that he was referencing. Today I only have three, so Howard's always got one step up on me. The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook by Adele Calhoun. This is fantastic. There are two definitions that I would like to look at in this book. The first one on meditation says, staring at God. Staring at God. giving God our undivided attention, settling down our hearts, our minds, and our bodies, being still. The second one is practicing the presence, developing a continual openness and awareness of Christ's presence living in me. Meditation and practicing the presence. So the good news for us today, first week of spring break, that's already two times. One is an encouragement to take a vacation, and the other one is to relax. So that's great news for us. I'm very overjoyed about that. Take a vacation and relax to meditate on Scripture. I mean, what a great thing to be doing. So, second question, what does meditating on God's word look like? This is where I would like to get into Psalm number one. So before I read God's word, let me pray. God, we are thankful for how you have spoken and how you do speak and how you will speak and how you will guide. God, we're so thankful for who you are and who you have created us to be. Thank you for calling us into a righteous lifestyle. Thank you for calling us to be like your son, Jesus. So in this time, God, we pray that you would continue to shape and mold our hearts to look more like Jesus, to look more like him. In all that we say and do, would it all be glorifying to you? It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and we give thanks. And all God's people said, amen. All right, let me get a quick drink. Sorry. Okay, Psalm number one says this. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, in our discipline of meditating on God's word, I think it's appropriate that we just read through it one more time. Psalm 1 says this from the top. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The way of the wicked will perish. So just to walk through this to point out a few things. So Psalm 1, it has so many different comparisons. It contrasts so many different things. One of the major things that it compares is the righteous lifestyle versus the wicked lifestyle. We see this comparison, the righteous versus the wicked, or the blessed versus the wicked. The blessed person is the one who does not walk with the wicked, stand with sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Each of those three get progressively more specific. We can walk wherever we want to. And walking is a choice. Maybe you walk around your neighborhood. You can walk around at work. I mean, we all walk all the time. Walking does not necessarily align us with a specific type of person or people group or anything like that. But who we stand with does. We go from walking to standing. And even more than that, who we stand with, who are we sitting with? Who are we deliberately choosing to sit down with and spend our time with? But the blessed person who does not do any of those things, that person's delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. This word law, sometimes I think like this law, I like think about like the speed limit's 45 type of law. And I have to kind of correct myself. I think this word is more talking about God's instruction, God's teaching, or God's guidance. So his delight is in the instruction of the Lord. And in God's instruction, he meditates day and night.